Welcome to Elder Times, a program where we learn about the history of Netlake through the voices in our community. Today we'll be talking with Harold Dajan Goodsky, part two of a series of three interviews.
I led a pretty traditional life. I got a pipe when I was like 18, 19, when I got just before I went overseas, and I got one and I came back. Alex Skeed was the one that made the trip down here. He had a dream about me. And geez, I learned a lot from that man. They had asked, this tribe had asked him to come and look at the lake. They gave him tobacco and everything like that. He said, I'll come there in 3 days, okay? Every night the lights would go out. We'd be sitting around outside playing nothing, you know. I didn't realize that Alex had left his spirit and went to Net Lake, and he looked at it from all angles. He said, but now, he said it was good, but he heard drums, and he didn't know quite that meant, what that meant. But we came back to the reservation. He stayed here for like 3-4 days, met people, you know, and he did something to the lake. He didn't have the wild rice that I dreamt about. That's what started growing wild rice, ducks and everything else before we even got there. They were back. But they chased them away again by overhunting. You know, Indian people can't keep nothing very long. They have to give it away because they have no refrigerators. We didn't even have a road in here. They had to take a wagon from Pelican to come over here. That's most of what I remember in my childhood, you know, that I'd go into school and everything like that, which everybody wanted, not everybody, people wanted to fight with me and everything like that, and called me skinny and called me all kinds of derogatory names, which sometimes I remember. In my family, we lived in a little shack, and my mother had a brother whose name was Walter Caribou, who took off from Grand Portage to come live with us for a while. They had a whole family here. And they built my mom a log cabin. It was the only structure on Sugarbush. And I remember them building that and also telling them that they had to go home. They couldn't build no more. So Walter finished that cabin. Walter and my dad finished that cabin alone. I could remember the floors. I could remember the walls, you know. They had stuck some crap in the walls. My mom would sleep cooking, and she'd scream, and they'd look, and there'd be a snake looking at her from a hole in the wall. And we didn't have no outdoor plumbing or anything, you know. You had to run like heck before you... But it was what I remembered about home, my dad's drinking. It's what killed him and my mom. And my sisters, all of them, except my little sister. I went in the Navy to try to put her through school. She passed away a week before I went in. All the time I grew up, I started working other places. Started working with my cousins who used to go to work in the log mill, in the lumber, cutting down trees. And I remember them. Saying, geez, you know, we got to cut you off. You know, we can't take you along with us no more because we're not making that much money. So I stayed home and worked for my grandpa, and then he built that house of his. Man, you should have saw that place. I mean, it was on something like on a hillside, and they did compensate for them logs, so the house kind of stood like that, you know, kind of at a... When he walked in, he was really proud. He opened the door and he walked in like he was walking into the presidential suite or something, you know. And it was kind of funny because he lived alone and nobody wanted to live with him. I'd go stay on and sleep on the floor with him once in a while. My dad would throw me out. And he had a beautiful little shack, but it was all that raisin paper, pink raisin paper and blue raisin paper. and he used that for the walls. He had very few boards, so we put the boards on the sides and on the back and on the front by the door. That's it. That did it for the boards. The rest of them, they cut down balsam trees, and they whipped them into 2x4s with the ends sticking toward the inside. And they put as many boards as that they could in there. And for the roof, there was very, very few boards, and they had the rest of big, thin, thick paper, like black paper, what you'd call it even. And over, they had that resin paper over that, and then they put that over there, so it's pretty warm. And it was about this, maybe a little bigger than this room. It was about maybe 10 by 15, something like 10 by 16. And I used to go sleep with it most of the time, you know, sleep when I got thrown out. That was the sickest part of my life that I like to try to forget. You know, I hated alcohol. I knew what it did. I seen what it did to families. And one day they just said, why don't you just come and stay here, you know? And I think my mom was getting help from social services, welfare or something. Said, you know, you better come home, the social worker is coming today. I remember all that. I also remember my coming to live with us, you know, finishing up the house, touching it up and everything like that. And I remember my brother, Harvey, passing away. My mom, they tried to put him in an institution. My mom said, we'll keep him, we'll take care of him. And they watched him day and night. You know, the girl stayed up a little while, and they asked me to stay and watch him for a while, and we all got to know him. He couldn't walk, he couldn't sit up, he couldn't stand, he couldn't talk, but he was always laughing. You know, and finally one day, the welfare came, and they took my brother. And I never saw him again. And I guess to this day, I hate the welfare workers, social workers, for going into homes and taking kids away. That was before they had the Indian Child Welfare Act. And that was one of the organizations that me and Paul Day and Nancy Wester and Paulette Fairbanks all worked hard. We worked hard. Sharon Romano, Chuck Robertson. We shut ourselves in a motel, not in a motel, but in a hotel room. 6 days, somebody paid our way in there. They went and they wrote and they wrote and they wrote and they wrote and they come out with that. The New Child Today, that was all over the United States and on into Canada. For people, welfare couldn't take no more Indian children out as long as there were people alive or in that family that just like, you know, taking children out. And from there, oh God, I got so many involved in too many campaigns, too many goddamn, which called, you know, Clyde just hates it when I say that I founded AIM, you know, because I worked for the Northwest North Side Center, you know, because I was the only Indian in there. And my supervisor was a black guy. And every time I said something, he disagreed with me. I said, you never came, you've never been on a reservation. You don't even know what I'm talking about. We hemmed and hawed and fought and everything like that, and the director kept me on because of my knowledge of the reservation. You know, like I said before, I got a pipe from Alex Skeet from Rat Portage. You know, I got a pipe from Harry Bonus from this reservation here for my work and my service and my trying to learn my language and how to dance and things, sing, things like that.
You have been listening to Elder Times, brought to you by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and KBFT 89.9 FM, Boisfort Tribal Community Radio.